way out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that the God of the mountains also God in the valley? In the scripture, they said, oh, yeah, your God's only the God of the mountain, but what about if we were down in the valley? Amen. Well, he was the God of the valley also. Hallelujah. God's still God no matter where you are or what you are going through, whatever your journey is. Hallelujah. How many know God's faithful? Can anybody in here say God's faithful this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're still here. We're still going. We're still moving. Hallelujah. What's that? And going to be. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord in the house this morning. Amen. Aren't you glad that your chains can be broken? That your chains can be gone, that his mercy flows, that his love is everlasting, and his peace and his love. Even in the midst of our stresses, even in the midst of our trials and circumstances, you know, and sometimes we can say, well, God will go with you through whatever. But how many know when he goes with you through whatever, then you know the presence of God is with you. Hallelujah. I like that song that started out with said, when the Holy Ghost running through you. How many know sometimes you just got to have a Holy Ghost moment? Come on, somebody, you got to have a Holy Ghost moment where you just say, all right, Holy Ghost, your spirit inside of me is stronger, it's mightier. Hallelujah. We had our theme for camp this year, and it was be brave. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. But we know that what makes us brave is the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? His presence in our life. And you know, how many of you are in here are brave by nature? Two, three, four. We have a few people brave by nature. I mean, sometimes what causes us to be brave sometimes is the obstacle that we're faced with. And sometimes you just got to be brave. You just got to find that inner strength, and you got to do what you got to do for the moment, for the day, or for whatever it is. And so I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. That is our strength that makes us brave. Amen. That makes us fearless. That makes us be a conqueror. The scripture says that scripture doesn't say we're conquerors. It says we're more than conquerors. There you go. It says we are more than conquerors. How many know he was a conqueror, and because he conquered all, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for independence. I'm thankful for freedom. And I think we take it way too lightly, and we take it for granted what we have, amen, and the freedoms and the liberty that we have. Hallelujah. For those who have fought for us to be where we are today, amen. Do we have any veterans in the house this morning? Stand up if you're a veteran in the house. Amen. Give them a hand. Hallelujah. Amen. We honor them. And Brother Duke over here also, we honor them for their service, for their fighting, men and women veterans in this house. And so we're so thankful for that. But, you know, we are here today because somebody made the way for us. Somebody paved the way for us. You know, while we were at camp this year was the scripture that really stuck out to me, probably of all the scriptures that was said. And Josh Button ministered on it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it out of Deuteronomy this morning. But it talks about living in houses that we did not build, drinking from wells we did not dig, and vineyards we did not plant. How many know we sit here today and are a recipient of the independence and freedom from people who built houses we didn't build, who dug wells we didn't dig, and planted vineyards that we did not plant? And I thought about that, you know, even as we stood here in camp for the week and all the things that the Lord did, I am a recipient of houses and cities that I did not build, wells I did not dig, and vineyards I did not plant. And what I mean by that, I have the goodness of God in my life today because somebody went ahead of me and paved the way. Somebody dared to believe. Somebody dared to embrace God. Somebody dared to believe higher, dream bigger than where they were. And because of that, I have walked into a promised land or a land of promise that I was able to walk into and possess a land that I did not have to fight for. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, even, and I've mentioned this before, even as sometimes, you know, there is some conflict or static, even for women preachers or women ministers, right? But I was able to walk into vineyards I didn't plant because there were those who went ahead of me that planted vineyards who paved the ways, who got the nasty letters in the mail and all the criticism and things like that. But how many know I have been embraced and been able to walk into a ministry that somebody else went ahead of me and planted those vineyards for me, built houses for me, that I am a recipient of those things. Amen. We embrace the freedoms that we have, the independence we have today, because somebody stood up and said, no more taxation. We want to be separate from England. We want to have our own colonies. We want to make a change. And somebody dared to make a change. Hallelujah. I mean, a change is not easy. Hallelujah. And sometimes change stretches you. Sometimes change demands things of you. Hallelujah. But it also is important in our life to get where we need to get. I mean, we've changed a whole lot since we were born. I hope there's been some growing up and some maturity in your life since you were born. Amen. And so change comes sometimes. And so as we embrace that and we're thankful for God taking us through different journeys. I was listening to actually a minister online yesterday, and he was talking about positioning yourself for prosperity and all of those kind of things. And, you know, and I believe all of that. We need to position ourselves. But, you know, how many know God is positioning? He doesn't necessarily just position you for prosperity so that you can be blessed. He positions you for prosperity so that you can be a dispenser of blessings. Amen. So we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed so that we can sow into the next generation. And there really has been a mandate, I think, on me or on this house, I believe, in the last couple months, where God has really challenged us in discipleship and being able to disciple to not only to mentor, but to be able to mentor others, to train, to teach. How many know the commission? Jesus said to the disciples, he didn't say go make converts or go make believers. He said go make disciples. There's a difference between a convert, a believer, and a disciple. I mean, a disciple lays down their life. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is one who is willing to be mentored, to be trained, to be taught, and then ultimately put into a position to function because you've had the greatest of teachers and you've had somebody pour into you. Hallelujah. When Jesus sat down at the Last Supper and he began to wash the feet of his disciples, what he did was In symbolism, he says to them, I have trained you, I have taught you, I have empowered you, now I send you out. Because what they would do, men, when someone would come in to wash your feet in a house, it was the lowest servant of the house. That meant everybody's feet you wash were above you in status position. What Jesus did was say, I'm going to take this the lowest place of a servant. I'm going to elevate you to a place of ministry. I mean, no, Jesus kind of just put them out there in ministry, seemed like. And when it came time for everything starts to go down, you know how it is, when everything starts to go down, everybody starts to run. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When the going gets tough, sometimes people just run. Amen? But what happens is the disciples begin to disperse. And he warns them. He said, you know, you're going to leave me. You're going to forsake me. You know, and they're like, not so, Lord. And what happens is they do. But how many know what happens is ultimately they begin to rely on the teaching and the training they had, and God begins to pull them back together, empower them with the Holy Spirit in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And how many know they stood up differently than they did before that? Hallelujah. It was only after Jesus, the mentor, stepped over and said, all right, guys, you're going to be endued with power. When's the kingdom going to be restored, Lord? When will the kingdom be restored? He said, you're going to be endued with power from on high. How many know you're the one that brings the kingdom of God in the earth? Hallelujah. We have a mandate on us not to just be believers, not to just be converts, but to be disciples and go and make disciples. Hallelujah. And how many know that's more than even just soul winning? It's a step more than soul winning. It's not only just to win folks to Christ, but also to mentor them in the ways of the scriptures and the ways of the kingdom, to empower them to go win souls. Amen? Hallelujah. How are you going to change your world? Change a life. change a life, change your world. You know, I was thinking, hallelujah, in the scripture where Jesus gives the parable of the wheat and the tares. You remember the scripture, the wheat and the tares, and everybody got all worked up, and they said, what are we going to do? How are we going to get the tares out from among the wheat? He said, don't worry about the tares. Let them grow together. Because when the wheat becomes to maturity, it will expose that which is tares. Hallelujah. And it will outgrow the tares. The tares will be strong. You know what happens sometimes? We look around us and we see that as if it looked like tares around us. And that's just a challenge for us to grow into what God's called us to be. Amen. To grow stronger. And to be what God has called you to be. And so we thought about the scripture in Deuteronomy. Go ahead and bring that up if you would, Carlin. 6:1-25. Let me know, Independence Day is a house we didn't build. None of us here made that happen 200 and some years ago. But I'm cashing in on it because somebody paid for it for me. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone else sacrificed so that I could have the freedoms and the independence that I do today. And we must not forget that, lest our generations to come miss out on that same freedom. Amen. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 6:1, and I'm just going for a little while. I don't know if I do the whole chapter. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. I mean, no, they were promised a land that flows with milk and honey. Amen. That's the promise of God to them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and while thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy head, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. How many of those, there's some things that it shall be that you need to write on the doorpost of your house. You need to write them on your heart. You need to write them in your mind. Hallelujah. He said, keep these statutes. Remember these. Not only remember them, but teach them to your children and teach them to your children's children. Amen. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and godly cities which thou buildest not. He wants to give you cities you didn't build, houses full of all good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged that thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. I'm going to stop there for a moment. So he gives a mandate to them, and he says, don't forget. He said, I'm about to take you into a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land that you didn't, it's houses you did not build, cities you did not fortify, vineyards you did not plant, and wells you did not dig. How many know we have an earthly promised land today that we are recipients of, that is a heavenly promised land, a heavenly Canaan as it was, which is the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. We all understand that our promised land today is not just a place or a destination, but it's a person named Jesus. And because of the life, because of the price that he paid, because of the sacrifice he gave on Calvary, I have a right to enter that place of rest and promise, a land that flows with milk and honey, a land of goodness, a land of healing, a land of prosperity, all because he paid the price for me. Amen. You have that right to walk into that today. And he said, what I want you to do is, he said, I want you to invest that into your children and your children's children and the generations to come. I mean, there's a scripture says it, so that the generations yet to come might rise up and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And so let me know, our mandate is not for us just to be Christians, not just to get to heaven. Amen? I mean, sometimes I think we've had the mentality that I'll get saved and that I'll live right until I can hopefully one day make it to heaven. But how many know that's not our mandate here, is just to get to heaven? Our mandate is to bring heaven to earth. Hallelujah. To be effective to the people around us, to change the nations. You know what? If we don't like the way our nation is going, how many know somebody has to stand up and be men and women of God and take a stand and say, this is what I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thought, you know, even as we had camp and stuff this week, the way we teach our children, the way we train in our young, how many know hopefully some of them are going to rise up one day and lead our country? Some of them are going to be doctors and nurses that might work on us. You know, we say sometimes even in a classroom, my kindergarten teacher is here with me this morning. You know, we tell our kids in the classroom, one of these days you guys might be famous authors. One of these days you might be a doctor. You might be president of the United States. Hey, look, here's how I feel. They got to come out of somebody's classroom. They might as well come out of mine. They got to come out of somebody's church. They might as well come out of mine. Somewhere along the line, somebody's got to say to you, you were born for more than what you're walking in. Don't let any kind of earthly circumstances keep you from being all that you want to be. You go ahead and dream big. You go ahead and dream big, because you just might have the answer to cancer. You might just have the answer that we need in the nations. You might be the next rocket ship to the moon. I mean, they got to come out of somebody's classroom. They got to come out of somebody's Sunday school class. They got to come off of somebody's pew. It might as well be ours. Amen. And if we all take this same mentality in churches across the nations, classrooms across the nations, how many know we've got to empower people to change people, to change our world? If you're going to change our world, we're going to have to do it by changing people. We've got to be effective in the earth. Hallelujah. And sometimes the most effective witness, the most effective contact is face-to-face over sometimes maybe over an ice cream, maybe over a cheeseburger. Oh, we got an amen over here. Over a cup of coffee. Pie. Pie talks really loud. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes that's the most effective way to talk to people, to win people, to share your testimony? Does anybody in here have a testimony of the goodness of God in your life? Hallelujah. Anybody miraculously saved by grace? Anybody snatched out of the hands of poverty and despair and brought to know Jesus? Hallelujah. We've got a testimony. We know the saving power of Jesus. We know the healing power of Jesus. We know the hand of God to protect us in our life. Hallelujah. We're not here by chance. And we're not here to just get through and hope that one day we make it to heaven. How many know we are here to change our world, change our nations, change our thinking? Yep. Hallelujah. And so he began to make a mandate on them. And he said, you're about to walk into things that you didn't even have to pay for. Aren't you thankful today that you are recipients of things that you did not have to labor for? You didn't have to pay for it. All you had to do was walk into it. Hallelujah. As I came to church this morning, somebody went ahead of me and paved the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My grandmother came to know Jesus. My great-grandmother come to know Jesus. My aunt, my mom come to know Jesus. Then my dad come to know Jesus. How many know it literally changed the course of our history? It changed the life and the road that we were on, and God supernaturally turned it around. And let me tell you what, if he can do it for our house, he can do it for your house. And I don't care what road it looks like you're on now, that same saving grace, same power of God that supernaturally saved you, Jenny, is the same God today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And regardless of what circumstances look like around us, he's still faithful. Amen. He's still faithful. It's still the same God that we serve. Hallelujah. It's still the same God. Hallelujah. Numbers 11:28. Go ahead and bring it up. If you have that one in there. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Is it 11? That's the one I have up. That's all right. Go on over to Exodus 33 and 11. Because we're going to talk about Joshua. A scripture that kind of caught my eye last night. But, you know, we talked about a little bit. We've talked about the spies who go in to spy out the land. How many know the land that we're talking about here, the houses you didn't build, cities you didn't fortify, vineyards you didn't plant, and wells you didn't dig? How many know that was the promised land that Joshua and Caleb went in to spy out? Yeah. They went in to spy out the land, and they said, this is your land. God has given you this land. Go in and spy it out. And one of the little things that you'll see before they go into before they go in to spy out the land, they go through the land of Hebron. Does anybody know, remember anything about Hebron, what goes on in Hebron? It's the Cave of Machpelah. Does anybody know what the Cave of Machpelah is? That's the Cave of Adullam, a different cave. But that's all right. It ties in there because David was there too. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. It's the burial place. Hebron was the burial place. Abraham and Sarah was buried there. Jacob and Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah were buried there. And Jacob and Leah were buried there. What this says to me is before they ever go in to spy out the land, they go past the gravestones of the great patriarchs. You know, today is Independence Day. A lot of people like to decorate the graves and things like that and go by those things and remember. And however you do that is fine. That, you know, that's fine. But, you know, it's not the gravestone that we go to see. Amen. It's the memory that we have and the reminders of those of what they were in our life, right? And so I don't necessarily have to go, and hear me what I'm saying, I don't necessarily have to go to my dad's grave or where he's buried to feel his presence or to have the memories or the reminders of what he was in my life. But if it helps to go by there every now and then just go on and go by there. You know what I'm saying? But what happens is before they ever go in to spy out the land, they go by Hebron and they go by the Cave of Machpelah, and in there is buried the patriarchs of old. And what that says to me is before they ever go in to possess the land that God promised to them, they go by the reminders when God began to speak to Abraham and he said, I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the seas and the stars of the heaven. I'm going to give you the land of promise. I'm going to take you into the land that flows with milk and honey. How many know they are reminders to Joshua and Caleb before they ever go into the promised land of the promises that God spoke over their forefathers? Amen. How many know sometimes we need to be reminded of how far we've come and where we've come from, and it's a great reminder as to where we're going to. That's why our testimonies are so powerful, when we remember what God delivered us out of and what he's taken us into. See, I don't ever want to go back where we were. I want to go into where we're going, what God has promised, because it's a land that flows with milk and honey. What he brought us out of was gloom, despair, and agony on me. But he's taken us into a land that flows with milk and honey. He gets in, and they go in, and they spy out the land. You know the story. 10 come back with an evil report. They said, there were giants in the land, and we were as grasshoppers, and we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. How many know the scripture never says that the giants saw them as grasshoppers? They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And as long as we have a grasshopper mentality, we will never walk into the purpose and calling of God in our life and possess what God has purposed for us to be. We always say, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not old enough, I don't have the right last name, I don't have the right bank account, I don't have the right calling. How many of those are all grasshopper mentalities? That says you are less than, you are smaller than, you are not what they are. Hallelujah. And so they come back and they give the evil report and they sow fear into the camp. And so everybody gets fearful. How many know fear is contagious? Yep. Discouragement is contagious. The confession of your mouth. Sometimes if you're in a bad mood, it won't take long for the rest of your house to get in the bad mood, depending on how you respond. Amen. Hallelujah. It don't take long. It catches on. But how many know they began to speak fear? But Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is the good land. I mean, there are pods that we hung on rods, and they went to the ground. They were some major big grape pods. The land, it's a beautiful land. It's our land. But because of the fear of the others, they do not walk into it. For 40 years, they remain in the wilderness. And the scripture says no one over the 20-somethings went into the land of promise. Now, I'm a little bit past 20-something, but not too much. Hallelujah. But how many know Joshua and Caleb had 40 years to pour into a generation of 20-somethings to remind them, this is your land, and we will go in, and we will possess this land. And when we go in, you're not going in by yourself, because I'm going in with you. The scripture says Caleb was 85 years old, and he still had his strength in him. And he come to Joshua, and he said, I want my mountain. I want what God's promised me. I still got it in me. I still got some strength. I'm not quitting yet. I'm not giving up. I haven't seen the fulfillment of everything that God's promised. And I'm not turning my back on that land until God fulfills everything that he's promised. You can stay in the wilderness if you want to, but that's my land. That's my mountain. And I feel like I still got some fight in me. Anybody in here still got some fight in you? You might not be walking in everything that you want to be walking. You might not be seeing the fulfillment of milk and honey and everything you want to see. But here's what I want to tell you. If you still got some fight in you, you still got some time. Hallelujah. And he goes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, I want my mountain. I want my inheritance. I want what God's promised. Guess what land he wants? Hebron. I want Hebron. It's the land of promise. It's the land of my reminder. It's the land of my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather and the great patriarchs of old. It's the reminder, Abraham, your seed is going to be as the stars of the heaven, as the sands of the sea. And Abraham says, but I don't have any seed, Lord. That's all right, because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Sarah, you're going to have a child, and she laughs. She throws her head back, and she belly laughs. Because I'm done past my prime. I've done gone through the change. It's too late for me. And she throws her head back and laughed. And he said, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Oh, yeah, you laughed. But what you laughed in mockery, you're going to laugh in joy, because you're going to have a baby and his name's going to be Isaac. And you're going to call that baby laughter, because what was once your sorrow, God's about to turn into joy. Once seemed like it was barren, God's going to make it fruitful. What it seemed like it was sadness, God's about to make you laugh. And he's about to bring laughter into your life. Anybody in here needs some belly laughs? You need some laughter. I'm telling you, the best therapy there is in the world is find a baby that's got a good giggle or a good belly laugh, and go ahead and listen, because you can't help but laugh when they laugh. Hallelujah. Some of the funnest laugh is the one when you get silly about 11:30 at night. And you start getting tired, and you start get giggly, and you start laughing, and then you can't stop laughing. Hallelujah. And so we got Isaac and Rebecca. We got Jacob, Leah. Leah, who thought she would never be embraced by anybody, but all of a sudden, God's got purpose and plans for Leah. I mean, it is out of Leah's generations and out of there that God births even the Redeemer of the world. Hallelujah. Out of the loins that thought that she would not be embraced by her beloved. Aren't you glad this morning you've been embraced by your beloved? And what seemed like it was impossible with God is possible. What seemed like it was impossible with men is possible with God. Hallelujah. And Caleb says, I want Hebron. I want the reminder. I want that land where the patriarchs are buried. It was the original name was Hebron, but they changed it to Kirjath Arba because it was taken over by a man named Arba by the Anakims, the giants, hallelujah, had taken over the land. But by the time Caleb gets it, it's Hebron. You might call it by some other name, but that's my land. That's my promise. That's my inheritance, and that's my mountain. Hallelujah. I still got some fight in me. I might be 85 years old. I might not look by like the 20-somethings, but I've had 40 years to pour into them, and I got about to raise up a generation of people that believe that they're not grasshoppers, that they believe they are giant killers, that believe there's a land they can possess, believe that there's a land of promise and a land of provision for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in here today and you're over 85, don't raise your hand. That's all right. Hallelujah. There's still time. You still got some fight in you. You still got some kick to you. Hallelujah. Sister Wilda told me she was 80 years old. I said, we're pretty good shape for the shape we're in, aren't we? Hallelujah. I asked her how she was doing this morning. She said, well, I'm doing all right. I said, well, we're pretty good shape for the shape we're in. You're here, you're upright, and you're walking. Hallelujah. We're blessed. We're too blessed to be stressed. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to change your focus. For 40 years, they poured into the 20-somethings to prepare for the promised land. I mean, the disciple was to pour into those who are training to lead. Hallelujah. Exodus 33 and 11. You have that one, Carlin. There it is. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Or not, another translation says, not out of Moses' tent. How many know Joshua hung out in Moses' tent? I love that. I said Joshua hung out in Moses' tent. He didn't leave the side of Moses. He stayed in the tabernacle. He stayed in the tent of Moses. He didn't leave there. How many know probably at that time he was a boy in Egypt, but he hung out in the tent of Moses, who was a deliverer, and probably had no idea that one of these days, Joshua, you're going to take this people into the promised land. But how many know he hung out just a little bit too long with Moses, and there was still a little bit of fight in him. So when he went into out the land, he said, wait a minute, I've done heard all the promises. I don't remember all the promises God declared. That's my land, and that's my promise. Hallelujah. I mean, when he gets ready to cross over the Jordan and go into Jericho and to begin to possess the land that God promised them, God says to Joshua, he said, today, Joshua, I'm going to make you strong in the eyes of the people. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up and get ready. We're getting ready to cross over. I mean, Moses is a type of an old covenant mentality, a law-based system. But when Joshua gets ready to take him and crosses over to the Jordan, he crosses with a mercy seat. I mean, when they came out of Egypt and out of a land of bondage, the only way Moses knew how to rule was with a rod. And that's what God said. He said, what do you got in your hand? He said, I got a rod. And God used the rod for a time and a season. But how many know there was a new generation on the scene? Joshua is about to take them into a promised land. And when he doesn't take them in with a rod. He takes them in with a mercy seat. He said, here's what's going to happen. When that mercy seat steps into the water, he said, the waters are going to roll back. Hallelujah. Just like they rolled back on the Red Sea. And God's going to take you into the land of promise. And he's going to roll back the waters until everybody crosses. I love that. It's not just enough for me to get in ahead of the line. I mean, in kindergarten, the big thing is to get in the front of the line. And then somebody wants to cut it in front of you. They cut in front of me. We hear that all the time. We're all going the same place, and we're going to get there at the same time. Hallelujah. So we have to have line order so we don't have a fist fight every day over whose place it is in line, right? Hallelujah. It's not about being the first one there. It's about everybody crossing over, because I'm not crossing over without my kids. I'm not crossing over without my grandkids. I'm not crossing over without your kids or your grandkids. How many know it's till we all cross over? And the only thing that brings us into our promised land is a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. The mercy seat, if you know what that is the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubims and the wings that was in the most holy place. And they would sprinkle it with blood for the blood of the atonement so that the sins of the people could be covered. Hallelujah, by the priest. How many know Jesus was our heavenly propitiation, our heavenly mercy seat? Hallelujah. So now we don't have to come in by the rod or by even by rules and things like that. We come in by relationship and by the blood sprinkling of him who was able to be our promised land and our land of rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, in Joshua 14, 6 through 15, if you bring that up real quick, I'm not going to hold you too long today. I'm about done. But Hebron was the original name of, and it was changed to Kirjath Arba because it was overtaken by Arba. It was also the place of the Oaks of Mamre. It was the burial place of Sarah, Abraham, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Leah. It was a Levitical city. It was a city of refuge. And it was the city where David was anointed king over Israel in Judah when he was anointed that time. Not the first time by Samuel with his house, but when he was anointed king over Israel. Hallelujah. How many know our inheritance is rich? The promises are rich. Hallelujah. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and he said, These 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, I'm 85, as yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. And so he changed the name back from Kirjath Arba to Hebron, because he said, that's my land and that's my promise. And God drove the giants out of the land. Hallelujah. What am I saying to you this morning? We live in houses we didn't build, vineyards we didn't plant, and wells we didn't dig. Hallelujah. So it gives us a responsibility, because the generations behind us, and I'm not just talking about my own children generations, and I am, but how many know what the message of the gospel, the saving power of Jesus Christ, the healing of the cross, all of those things need to be for the generations yet to come? How many know what we're doing today is planting vineyards, building houses, digging wells, planting vineyards for the generations yet to come? And what one of the things that the Lord said to me, if you look around you and it looks barren or it looks desolate, begin to plant. Begin to sow. I went outside yesterday to pick corn off of my plants. Then I remembered I didn't plant any corn. See, I can't gather corn off of plants that I did not plant. There won't be any potatoes in my backyard because I didn't plant any potatoes. But if I want to reap something in the days to come, guess what I'm going to have to do first? I'm going to have to plant some seed. I'm going to have to sow some seed. Behold, a sower went forth to seed. He went forth to sow some seed. Hallelujah. And I mean, know sometimes that seed can call, it can fall on stony places. It can fall on thorny places. It can fall on good ground. But how many know it's God that brings the increase? Hallelujah. If you want kindness, sow some seeds of kindness. If you want prosperity, sow some seeds of prosperity. I mean, one of the greatest ways to reap is to give, to sow. Hallelujah. Put resources in the hands of those who have the ability to do what we need to do. Hallelujah. Put resources in the hands of those who have the desire to build, who have the desire to change, who have the desire to do something for God. Hallelujah. So what are we planting? What are we building? What are we sowing? What are we digging? Because it will affect the generations yet to come. And that just struck me at camp this year. I thought, yeah, this is wonderful, man. I'm living in houses I didn't build. And I'm eating from vineyards that I didn't have to plant. And I'm drinking from wells that I didn't have to dig. And the Lord said, what will you do for the generations behind you? Because I was like, oh, yay, this is great. Thank you, God, that we were able to just walk into this. But he said, the mandate's on you for the next generations. What will we do for the generations yet to come? Hallelujah. We got to take those 20-somethings. And I say that number. It's not about numbers. I'm not really talking about age there. But we got to start pouring into them and convince them that this is your inheritance and this is your land of promise. Because one of these days, they will step in and possess the land that we may only see with our eyes. And we might have heard about it with the hearing of our ears. But how many know there must be a continuation of the callings and giftings of God in our life? Here's the thing. Sometimes those that we pour into now will be the ones to come back and pour into you in the days to come. Hallelujah. They'll lift up your hands. What would you say? Or your children. They may come back to pour into you or may pour into your children one of these days. And you'll be glad you sowed some seed. You'll be glad you dug some wells. You'll be glad you planted some vineyards. Hallelujah. Because when it begins to come back and you begin to reap that back. Hallelujah. How many know the patriarchs of old, there were those who came back and ministered to them. I love the scripture when he tells Peter. He said, Peter, when you're old, another one will come and carry you where hither and thither where you need to go. Thank God for those who can come back and carry you when you are weak, when you're not strong, when you need strength. Thank God for those. But what I love about that is what he's saying to Peter is, Peter, you're going to get old. You're not going to die as a young man. Hallelujah. There's too much in store for you. Hallelujah. To stay right here where you are. I mean, Peter would have built a tabernacle there on the Mount of Transfiguration, would have been content to stay right there. But the heavens opened and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. We're not building a tabernacle for Moses and one for Elijah, one for the prophets, because I've made of twain one new man. Hallelujah. And established the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I'm 85. I still got some fight in me. I still remember the promises. That's my land. I want my mountain. Hallelujah. I mean, no, Hebron became Caleb's inheritance because he didn't give up in the wilderness. I mean, no, it's tempting to give up in the wilderness. It's tempting to stay where you are. It's tempting to say, I can't do this. I am a grasshopper. There were giants in the land. I don't see anything but giants ahead of me. Hallelujah. You know, we've been talking about our focus, and what do we see? You can either see giants, or you can see a land that flows with milk and honey. You can see grasshoppers, or you can see those who are well able to take the land. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And you know, it's not even just about... It's, you know, thank God for the strength of the body where we can minister one to another. Hallelujah. But thankful to God when the strength rises up from in us. Hallelujah. We said at camp, there is no little Holy Ghost. It's the same power in you. It's the same power in me. It's the same power in Robin. It's the same power in Eileen or Chris or whoever it is. How many know the Spirit of God lives and resides within us? We're encouragers. We encourage the body. We are recipients of His glory, but we are also dispensers of healing, dispensers of His glory. The Lord said to us a couple weeks ago, come full and leave empty. That means come filled up with His presence, His glory, His healing, and dispense everything you got while you're here and go out and allow God to fill you back up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.